Hi everyone, welcome back to Be More, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem. For today's episode, we are talking Be More Sales Executive. This is a role that is perhaps overlooked against traditional roles such as like admin, consultant, developer, and it is still a very important role within the ecosystem. And so in today's episode, we'll inspire you to be a little bit more of this role. I am joined today by Jolie, and ultimately, we're going to dive a little bit more into this role and understand what it takes to be a sales executive. So Jolie, if you're able to start by introducing yourself for us, please.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Tom. So yeah, I'm Jolie Cooper. I currently work as a sales executive for ProvenWorks, which is an ISV for the Salesforce ecosystem. We've been trading for 14 years on the AppExchange, selling a variety of tools for data enrichment and data enhancing. That's the core focus of what we do. So personally, I've been in sales for about 25 years now. Way too long, obviously, but once you're in it, you don't seem to be able to get out of it. I started a Cup of Teeth originally and selling into the direct mail market, selling paper envelopes, selling print, was my main focus then. Obviously, back in the day, there was no such thing as CRM systems. It was all paper manual systems. My first introduction really into the IT world was one of the best sales I ever did was I sold my business. I sold it to a company who were in the process of implementing their first ERP system, and having have a really reasonably techie head on me, I got landed with a role of managing the implementation and then running all of the IT system for the company, as well as supposedly running the sales as well. Which was an interesting time. I spent a lot of time then. The system that they'd chosen and implemented was not great. I spent a lot of time on financial reporting. I basically had to teach myself SQL to draw data out of the Linux-based system, and then running reporting through Crystal Reporting. So it was an interesting, steep learning curve for me, but gave me a very good background in the tech side of things. So when I landed this job, they were very surprised to see somebody that's looking for a sales role that's got SQL, basic SQL understanding. So it's, all things work together for good. All comes together at the end. But that's where I've come from. But as a person, I'm a very passionate, very driven person. If I believe in something, if I want to do something, I'll do it, and I'll do it 100%, 110%. I'll give it everything I've got, and don't seem to be able to sort of just dip my toe in the water with things. I tend to launch into it, and I push boundaries, what can be achieved, what we can do. Obviously, no isn't an answer I accept. Uh-huh. I'm talking to people, it's no to me means next opportunity. Push the boundaries. My very existence is a testimony to the fact that no isn't an option.
Yeah.
But I like to, I go out there, but I like to think I'm an empathetic person. Take account of other people's feelings, thoughts, listen to what people have got to say, and get an understanding of what people are wanting.
For those that perhaps don't understand the day-to-day kind of ins and outs of what a sales executive might be expected to do, are you able to break that down for us?
Day in, day out, I do sales.
Yeah.
And it's a question of there's two elements to sales. One is hunting for them, and the other is farming incoming leads. So we've got incoming leads coming into the business. We've got to be reactive, timely updates. Obviously, they're asking questions, people are asking questions, wanting information. So I'm sitting there providing information. Typically, I will respond with an email, look to get some kind of call with them, discuss a use case, discuss what they're doing, how they're wanting, what the problem is that they're looking to solve, and then we go through possible solutions, presenting different ideas, the way we can do that, and then at the end of that, you're looking at possibly, you know, put a price to it, this is what it's going to cost, and then you go through the negotiation process. That's on the sort of reactive side. To be honest with you, that takes a lot of my time because we get we're a very fortunate position. We've got a lot of reactive sales, but also the hard side, the hard work of sales is on the hunter side, where you're going out and looking for leads. You're trying to find people that will buy your product, where it's your product is relevant to them, and where they've got a problem to fix. They often a problem they don't not aware of.
That is kind of the, I guess, the more traditional expectation of a salesperson, right, is kind of going out there and kind of generating the prospects, generating the interest. But then obviously you have, is it fair to say, the more kind of relationship side of it as well, like in terms of building that relationship with your potential and existing clients, is that important too?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's for me personally, sales is about relationships. It's about developing that level of trust between yourself and the prospect so that they will then tell you what they're looking for, what their problems are, and just sit, you know, to sit and listen and find what their issues are. Particularly in the UK, UK people are terrible for it. They'll happily tell you all their problems. All you have to do is sit there and listen and just field all that information.
Yeah.
And then pick out the relevant stuff and go in and hopefully provide a solution for it. But it's about building that trust where people are willing to tell you what their problem is.
Your role, I guess, will interact with other roles as well, right?
Well, I get involved with right across the board, really. If you can imagine from where I'm sitting, you've got a marketing department who are doing a fantastic job. They're getting marketing, getting awareness of the brand, awareness of the products out there. They're doing the social media, they're doing advertising, Google ads, YouTube videos, whatever. They're putting all that out there. They're generating awareness. And they're getting a lot of information where to go, what to do, from feedback from sales. So I'm talking to people and saying, well, this is what people are looking for. This is, you know, they get steered from us. So we're interacting there. And then they're then picking up leads, fielding those through to the sales team. A lot of my calls, an initial call I may well do on my own with a client, potential client. But then a second call, almost always I'd have a solution engineer on the phone with me, someone that knows the technical detail of the product. I like to know what I'm selling, and I have a pretty good knowledge of what I'm selling. But when it comes to the sort of technical side and different ways that, you know, coding and formulas and all that can be integrated.
Yeah,
that's beyond my level at the moment.
Yeah,
So I'd always have a technical person on the phone to do that. So I'm interacting very closely with those. I get a lot of technical questions coming in. Can your product do this? Does it do this? How do we do this? That all, you know, I refer automatically there to the technical team to make sure I give accurate information to people. And then obviously at the close of a sale, and then interacting with the finance accounts team, making sure that all the information is there in the order so that they've then got enough information to process an invoice, raise invoices, but then also for them to set up for renewals of licensing and things like that. I'll be interacting, obviously, with my management team because they'll be wanting reporting and where we're doing, what sort of levels are, you know, are you hitting targets? Are you reaching this level? Is there any problems? Do I need to escalate questions to the management team or anything like that? Pretty much across the board of the business, we interact with all of them to a greater or lesser degree.
Okay, perfect, yeah. And I think some of those skills that you perhaps have with your clients or your prospects in terms of communication and relationship, I guess, will come into play there as well, right? Because ultimately, you have to work together as a team sometimes to close the sale or to help the customer achieve what they need, right?
Absolutely. Communication is key. In any kind of relationship, there's got to be a level of communication, and there's got to be the trust there. And, you know, I'm very fortunate at working at Proven Works. We were a relatively tight-knit team, but we have that level of trust between us, and a really good open relationship there where we can talk and ask questions, and, you know, there's because I don't know an answer to a particular question, that's no reflection on me. It's like, that's, you know, I've not learned that. And then it's a constant learning process anyway, but
yeah,
we have that level of communication. Openness of communication is absolutely key.
Okay.
Probably one of the greatest things you need to learn as a salesperson is to be able to communicate clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and effectively as well. Because when you're communicating with different types of people, whether they're a CTO or a sales manager, like, they're going to have different goals, right? They're probably going to talk in different ways as well about those goals. So that's super important. So moving on to kind of my next question, in your role, do you work kind of full-time all the time in a sales-based position?
I'm full-time sales. Mm-hmm. Nearly 24/7, but not quite. But unfortunately, when you're in sales, there'll be other people like me, but I have things going around in my head all the time. And I'm like, oh, I must run such and such a day. I must do this, must do that. You end up thinking about it a lot of the time. But yes, for me, it is a full-time job. So my previous experience when I was trying to run an IT system as well.
Yeah.
Another ERP system as well as do sales. It was, what you end up doing is you end up half-arting on one or both.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to give 100% to two different activities. There may be fringe activities on the sales. I mean, I still, some of the leads that come in, technically, they're sort of on the crossover between marketing and sales, but I'll still handle some of those. But everything I do is related to the sales, sales process.
You often got lots of different things happening at the same time, and maybe you find yourself like having to prioritize those. If you were kind of summarizing like tips or advice to people if they were looking to get out into a sales-based role, what kind of advice would you give, and how do you perhaps prioritize what you're doing on a given day?
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it's someone looking to get into sales, I would say if you can get some level of training, absolutely key to get that. One of the biggest challenges for most salespeople that I've met in my time is time management.
Uh-huh.
Typically, salespeople, we tend to be extroverts. We tend to be very much out there, a lot going on, busy people. But our time management is terrible.
Yeah.
I get an email in from a customer that says, I'm ready to place an order. I could be in the middle of some long email, you know, summarizing a call or explaining something to somebody. If I've seen that email coming in, I've just seen an order, I'll drop everything I do and process that order straight away.
Yeah.
Now, time management says, that order's landed. If I don't process that for another 10 minutes, it will still be there. The order won't get cancelled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in the Salesforce ecosystem, the sales process is quite a long process generally. So we're looking, you know, it could be months or even into years on a sales process from, you know, inception to right through to delivery. I've been in roles before where your sales process might be 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So
that's much more reactive. There isn't quite that need, but getting sales training is key. I never started out with any of that. I started in sales in my father's business because I was working at a quiet period, needed some sales. It's like, can you do sales? And I started, I had no training, I knew nothing. The only training I'd ever had was in management accounts. quite low level training, but it did stand me in good stead, these older people, so that I understood, you know, the basic concepts of profit and loss and the costs in of a product. Not just the raw cost of a product, was, you know, these delivery costs and labor and all that sort of thing. It gave me an understanding of how the account system works. So that is one thing which, if you can get it, get hold of it, because there's a lot to learn. Every day is a school day, and I'm still learning. Structuring my time, structuring my day is quite difficult sometimes, because I tend to keep my diary open for uncertainly up to like 2 days ahead anyway, so that I can, if people, customers have a need, they want to book a call, they can book a call, they can get hold of me. But planning the time, there are times when I book my time out. And I literally block my time out, and this is for, I go through admin tasks. Running on everything on the CRM system is absolutely fantastic, but it does take some upkeep to keep your data on there. The other thing also is to learn to manage your numbers. Sales is a science. It's not haphazard, it's a science, and it's, you've got to know your numbers. So you've got to know that by sending 100 cold emails out, I'm going to get 5 responses.
Yeah.
Of those responses, I can probably generate 2 opportunities. And of those opportunities, I can generate 1 order. So therefore, you can set your stall out. I know what my average order value is, and you manage your numbers. This is my average order value. So therefore, I need to send out, in a week, I need to send out 200 emails to get 2 opportunities to deliver an average order value of, say, £2,000, or I'll give you £4,000 that week. It's a question of managing your numbers. That comes from experience. You learn that. Every industry, every sector you work in is different than what you're selling and where you're selling to, but finding numbers and managing is a key thing to learn.
Kind of leaning on your experiences a little bit again in this next question, but if you were to start out again, have the opportunity to do things perhaps in a different way, is there anything immediately that kind of stands out and you say, well, actually, I would do this differently or that differently?
That's a very difficult question. Because, yes, I could look back and say, well, if I'd started with training, if I'd been shown the ropes better, what to do, things would have been different. However, the experiences I've been through in life have made me who I am.
Yeah.
So jumping on a phone call, I would have been 20, early 20s. And starting to make sales calls, knowing absolutely, I knew what I was selling, I knew the product, but I knew nothing about selling.
Yeah.
And the pitfalls and things I fell into, the holes I climbed down and had to extricate myself from, they gave me the strength and resilience. People are going to say no to you all the time. And that's, you'll have to get used to that.
Yeah.
But some kind of training would, you know, some training I've had, subsequently had training, some training, been to various seminars, things like that, books, you know, podcast videos and all that sort of thing. That's all been really useful, and you can learn a lot from that as well. But I'm a great believer in training on the job anyway. Earn while you learn is one of my big mottos.
I think that there's an element of that, I guess, kind of in every role in the ecosystem. Like, if you hadn't had the experiences you have had and climbed down those holes that you've fallen into before, you wouldn't be working now in a way that avoids doing that again, you know?
Yeah.
Watch out for those gotchas.
Yeah, one of the things I would say is that it has changed, it's definitely changed over the last 20 years, is that when I started selling, there was no internet. So there was no information available for people. You know, people only had information that they had at their fingertips.
Yeah.
So they would sell, they would listen to what you'd say, but they could never compare what you were selling to what somebody else was selling. So it came down to price, and there was a lot more price. Now you still get that price. That's the normal reaction for people who don't want to talk to you. It's too expensive.
Uh-huh.
What I focus on now is the value proposition. There's so much information out there. Any product I go out there and try and sell, somebody else is selling something similar.
Yeah.
You're no longer constricted to buying it from within a 50-mile radius of where you're working. You've got access through the internet to anywhere in the world to buy whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
There will be people that have left reviews on products, on the services, and all. There's so much information out there.
Yep.
So what's making the difference now, and salespeople need to probably need to understand this more, is the value proposition you put into people. You know, rather than selling, I mean, one of the products we sell now is a dress verification tool.
Uh-huh.
Now, say, for instance, this costs £2,500.
Yeah.
Right? So if I go and sell to somebody, this is a tool that verifies all your dresses, £2,500. That's a lot of money. Put it as a value proposition to them and say, well, you're a business selling, turning over £5 million. You've got an average order value of £200. That's giving you 25,000 deliveries every year. One in 20, the statistics are one in 20 deliveries goes to a bad address. And every delivery, failed delivery, costs on average about £15.
Yeah.
So 25,000 deliveries a year, one in 20 go into bad deliveries, so it's 1,250 deliveries a year, are costing you £15 extra. That's £18,000, just over £18,000. So if I go to a customer, here's a solution that's going to save you £16,000 a year.
Yeah.
Immediately they're interested. This is a value. This is value, delivering value to our customer.
Yeah. Exactly.
So don't talk price, talk value.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great advice. Moving on a little bit.
Yeah.
If there was an opportunity to de-myth something about salespeople, what would you like to share that perhaps you want to clarify or kind of bust a myth about salespeople that perhaps isn't true?
I don't know. It's a difficult one because people, when they think of salespeople, we're thinking of the used car sales guy, the photocopier sales. They've all been along. They've all stitched us up. They sold us a product that we didn't need, that didn't work, that was completely inadequate for the job. I think one of the things to realize is that there are a lot of people out there who are delivering solutions. And, you know, a good salesperson will deliver a solution to them. I've always been very much solution focused on my approach so that I don't go in and make a quick buck out of people. There's so much information out there. We can't get away with making a quick buck, but it's a question about delivering a solution to a customer. If the customer can see that you're interested in them and what you offer to them, they're going to get that connection. People buy from people.
Yeah.
And that's a very important thing to learn. You know, I've had roles when I'm out on the road knocking on doors, cold calling, knocking on doors, selling other products. But that very much is about connection. You've got a few seconds to make a connection with people. And being able to empathetically listen to people without jumping down their throats and for them to see that you're listening. The most important, I've said this so many times, is the most important tool any salesperson's got is their two ears.
Yeah.
It's not their mouth.
Yeah.
People say to me, oh, you must be able to sell because you can talk. No. Mm. I've had to learn to listen a lot.
Yeah. And I guess factor in what you're saying for that customer to make sure that the value proposition is applicable to them, because there's no point talking to somebody about failed deliveries if they don't deliver things, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. Okay. So we are now bringing this session to a close. Before we do go, is there a way for people to connect with you if they wanted to learn more? Are there any great resources or anything else like that that you'd like to shout out?
So I'm always available. I'm on LinkedIn. Search me out, Jolie Cooper. Anyone can get a hold of me on there. My email address, I can share that, is jcooper@provenworks.com. anyone can reach me on there anytime, day or night, and get hold of me that way. But those are probably the best ways to get hold of me. I'm always willing to talk to people, listen to what people have got to say, and you learn so much from listening to people.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm inspired, but you know, it's very, to me, it's very humbling when people say you've inspired me, and I'm like, what have I said that's inspired you? But there are people that say that. Okay. I'm thankful if I can do that for somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's great. Well, thanks again for your time today. Yeah. And hopefully together we'll inspire people to be a little bit more sales executive themselves. So thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments below.